Hello and welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast. Mary Steves here alongside our trivia enthusiast and, as always, fearless leader, Dr. Tim Elmore. Tim, we are constantly talking about the influence that student athletes have in the other population, whether it be high school or collegiate athletics. But it's so important that they are under the positive influence, which is why a positive leadership influence, I should say, which is why I'm so excited for today's conversation with Joe Castiglione, because he is a perfect example of the type of leadership that is needed for an athletic department.
Absolutely.
Joe Castiglione is the athletic director at the University of Oklahoma. He has overseen 10 national championships and 72 conference titles. Since inheriting the program, he has intentionally created a culture where core values, a dynamic mission, and collaborative spirit are the heart of the experience for student athletes at the University of Oklahoma. We are so grateful for the insight and experience Joe will bring to our conversation today about managing sports programs in the 21st century. Tim, I'm going to pass the ball to you because we love cheesy puns here at Growing Leaders.
Yes, thank you.
To take away the conversation.
I'll try to run it into the end zone.
Right.
Joe, you and I have been friends now for years. Thank you for joining us on this podcast today.
Well, Tim, thank you. And thank you, Mary, for the kind words. It's truly an honor to be part of this as somebody that I hold in such high regard. And you've been a positive influence on our program, so we're grateful for that as well.
Well, thank you. So, Joe, today, the umbrella that we're going to put all these questions and answers under is really 21st century sports management. How do we manage a department like what you have at OU in this new day where the athletes come in with smartphones, but maybe not the smarts that they need, their academic preparedness we will talk about in a minute. But yet they're loaded with potential. You brought them in because you believe they have potential. Those coaches recruited the best and brightest, and yet, boy, there's challenges. So I want to talk about the challenges, but I also want to get to some solutions. So, Joe, if you don't mind, I'm just going to lob some questions to you, and I would love for you to share insight, stories, concerns, because I think you've got your ear to the ground when it comes to Division I athletics. So let's talk first about academic preparedness. You and I talked years ago about one of your greatest concerns, and that was academic stamina. So would you talk about some of your great concerns for NCAA athletes and their academic stamina?
Candidly, Tim, it probably is a concern that we see across all students, not just those that are entering in some form or fashion, participating in athletics while they are students. And therein lies one of the first and most important points that we are actually engaging students who want to participate in athletics and helping them balance all the things that they are facing when they transition into a whole new era of their life. It's not just academics and their athletic role, but growing as a person, engaging in what the college experience is all about, which includes learning how to make stronger decisions, perhaps in line with the mistakes they make from bad decisions. But it's that whole transition and trying to get them to understand what is expected and how they can balance it all. And as we've seen, and you referred to earlier, the preparedness of students now transitioning into college is a concern. I'm not a research specialist. I don't do this part for a living, but what I do read is that college is really at a crossroads because of what's happening in Common Ed. And it could be a direct result of states underfunding education and teachers not having the resources that they once had, the accountability, the parents or guardians and their direct influence in their son or daughter's their experience in education, how they're trying to influence it rather than the student themselves trying to embrace the responsibility. Whatever it is, they come to a campus and now, have a distorted expectation. Maybe that it's going to be much like it's been for them previously, and it's not. And that's where we find ourselves at a very tough crossroads dealing with how we can get them better prepared for college-level work. Now, let me say, we get some terrific students.
Sure.
We have, you know, petroleum engineers, we have pre-med, we have business, we have journalism, we have educators, at least those that want to be in education, whatever, across the board, terrific students that also have proven they can balance the demands of intercollegiate athletics and academic rigor. But we see more and more that some just aren't totally prepared, but they're here. Yeah. We've brought them here. We have the limited amount of time to evaluate what they are as person, what they can do in the classroom. We watch film and tape of what they can do for athletics, but you know, there's a lot still there that we don't know until they get onto the campus.
Yeah.
That's why we've been very intentional about the orientation we start from the moment they step on our campus.
Yeah. Well, and I think you guys do a great job with that, where you really talk to them about this is why you're here. And I we'll get into this later, but just the Sooner magic and just the things that you ask them to wrestle with in embodying the values, that's just going to build great citizens when they're done. But Joe, real quick, you even shared a story with me just even a few minutes ago about sometimes an athlete or their parent will come and sports is the hub of the wheel. And while you and I both love sports, that's why you do what you do, they're forgetting that it was academics that is the reason why they're at the University of Oklahoma. Would you mind sharing a story or two on just some of the challenges that perhaps a coach or an athletic director will face if they're in the same shoes as you?
Mary mentioned our commitment to core values, and you just referenced it yourself, the Sooner Magic, M-A-G-I-C, masterful, accountable, gracious, inclusive, and competitive. Well, that's not just something that we put on a paper that sounds good. It's something we live to in everything we do.
Yeah.
We hold ourselves to those values, and we expect our student athletes to embrace them just as much as any of the staff or coaches do. And we find ourselves in positions to have the values tested day in and day out in one way, shape, or form. And a story we were talking about prior to starting our podcast was just an example of what entering freshmen face and how they might have been experiencing education prior to the time they got to our campus. Oh, their record may show that they have good grades and they, you know, like, did okay in the standardized testing, but getting here and embracing the academic rigors is an entirely different thing. And can't tell you why and how these things happen, but sometimes they just think the extent of being a student is enrolling and going to class when they want. They don't feel like going a day, or they feel like showing up late. They think it's going to be acceptable, and it is not. And we have a case of a talented student athlete that could have even played some this year based on what they were doing in the preseason. But as they got into the fall semester, their class attendance was not up to our expectations. And we do actually have a class checking policy here. And we have some educational consequences if student athletes aren't in class when they should and where they should be. And we already have this one particular case where student athlete has now missed five competitions in this fall semester. And that's kind of extraordinary. And I don't know if they thought that they would be excused or not. We've had the parent write, you know, they've tried to talk about, you know, something medical. We've had our sports medicine people involved. We've had our psychological resources involved, evaluating this at each and every step. And in our particular case, it's there's not something that we will excuse. That doesn't mean we're harsh. That doesn't mean we aren't taking all things in consideration. In fact, quite the opposite. We've been very, very mindful of all the different experiences a student athlete can face. We understand, you know, the role of stress and anxiety and how that figures into their performance academically, athletically, whatever, just growing as a person.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this particular case, it's an example that we're going to hold everyone accountable to doing what it takes to get the most out of their experience. And we'll talk about that later, Tim, but we put such emphasis on creating a world-class student-athlete experience. But it starts with the very basic fundamentals, and that is a student has to embrace the opportunity that's put before them.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So I know one question that may be looming in the minds of our listeners right now are, well, then how can leaders like yourself better inspire these student-athletes and even explain the need for solid academics to someone who just doesn't connect the dots? They're thinking, I came here to play ball, you know, or whatever. Would you talk about, you're actually teaching students as well as leading the department. Talk about some of the things you do to inspire and even explain why this is so crucial for them to get.
Well, in our case, we feel that it's an important component of being a successful athlete.
Yeah.
We still subscribe to the reason that student is before athlete. And I understand the definition of student-athlete has evolved from one century to the next, and we understand expectations and pressures and all of those kinds of things. But in our case, we're still embracing the idea that this is amateur sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And to participate in athletics, one has to understand the primary reason they are here, and that's to get an education. We don't know in today's world, Tim, whether we'll have them for 2, 3, 4, or, you know, depending on the academic degree program, maybe 4.5 or 5 years. We don't know that. But while they're here, we are going to try and put them in a position to be successful in the rest of their life, and that'll be in their own chosen field. Might take them a year or two to figure out where they want to pursue academically. That's fine. They could change their major a couple times while they're here.
Yeah.
That happens with any other student. But we want them to leave our campus with basically a stronger set of tools that they had before they got here. And that's why the educational piece is so important.
Yeah.
And we might have to get to that in different ways. One thing more than ever before that we've tried to embrace in our assessment and understanding of students is the role of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
And how we can reach them. It's not just saying we're going to hold you to a certain standard. It's telling you, you're such an accomplished author on this and speaker, and you've taught us a lot, but how we can reach students in a different way than we've ever done before. And that, I think, is the way that we connect and try to create what we feel is the core of a world-class student-athlete experience.
Yeah.
And that's how they get the most out of their athletic experience as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I do think you're doing just that. One of the items that I think I appreciate most about you as a person, but also the department you've built, are just the adjustments you've made to better connect with those student athletes. I think I visited your campus first and met with you and your coaches years and years ago. But would you just take a minute, Joe, and talk about some of the adjustments that you and OU have made in terms of today's athletic department staff? What are some of the things you're doing that's different today than perhaps it was maybe even 5 years ago?
We've always had a academic affairs division of our program and a student services area. And sometimes, you know, they work, I guess you could say the lines were sort of blurred.
Yeah.
You know, they always work together, but we've actually put more focus on all of the academic resources that we put in play. And that is overseen by a person named Mike Mead and our, on my senior staff. And then we have an area of student services. And that's supervised by Dr. Carol Ludvigson. But yet they all work together.
Sure.
And within the student-athlete services area, we've really tried to focus on what we mean by a world-class student-athlete experience and how much a student can handle.
Yeah, sure.
We can lay all of this stuff out. And it, again, is is compelling, you know, to those who want to listen to the whole presentation. But it's more important for us to know that we're having a positive outcome. It's not just about our output. And for what we have in place to help people be successful. And so whether it's the testing that goes on to better understand the capabilities of the students we are working with day to day, and then the academic advisement to get them in the right classes so they could pursue their degree of choice, and then the monitoring that we do, whether it's class checking or the ongoing assessment during the semester, staying in touch with them weekly to see how they're progressing, or you know the other resources that we have available, the psychological resources. We were the first athletic program to hire a full-time counseling psychologist, and Dr. Nikki Moore, who's now moved on to the University of North Carolina. But she was outstanding and obviously assumed even bigger roles as she moved up in our department. And she was a very important leader for us to help us get to this point of defining a world-class student-athlete experience. But she also understood what student-athletes were facing, and now our student-athletes understand that there isn't any stigma to seeking that resource. Yeah. It's confidential. And it's there for them. It might be an eating disorder. It might be stress or anxiety. It might be a loss of a loved one. It might be boyfriend, girlfriend problems. Yeah, who knows what it is in their life? But they have that resource. And then what we're doing is other kinds of character development and engaging student athletes in the community. So there's a well-rounded approach. And that's what we mean by the right kind of experience. We're trying to create that better tool set so when they move on with their degree, they're better prepared for what life has in store after sports.
Joe, I'm thinking right now as you're talking of some of the photographs you even sent me. I remember you and some of your student athletes. Do you remember this? You were out after the tornado went through Moore, Oklahoma. And you were cleaning up and getting through the stuff. But I love the fact that you were out there with them. So I know you wouldn't say that, but I just love the fact that you and your team on staff there are embodying these very values. And I want to make an observation real quick. One of the things I've noticed about today's athlete is they really are holistic in their thinking. Some, I'm sure, still categorize athletics and then academics and then this and that and so forth. But many of them are saying to us, if you treat me like a person and you care for me like a human being, I'm much more apt to give you everything I've got because I know you love me. And I feel like you do that well, and I love that. And I say that only because I know it's very easy for coaches listening right now to categorize. I'm just their coach. I'm not their counselor, or I'm not their dad. But in many ways, you might have to be a surrogate dad for 5 minutes. Would you just take a quick minute and talk about that? Because I don't know if you say it out loud, but I know you do that as you teach and just have hallway conversations once in a while with your student athletes.
Our student athletes, Tim, I want to put some of the light back on you because I've learned this from you as well. Our student athletes of today and going forward, whether we're calling them millennials or the Gen Z, I was a baby boomer. It took me a while to get this through my own thick skull. But when I grew up, I grew up in a more of an authoritative culture.
Yes, yeah.
This is what you do, and you listen to me, and it will work. And, you know, we didn't really challenge that. We didn't challenge authority. In fact, it was almost counterculture to think you would challenge authority. I don't want to sound like student-athletes are rebelling today. They're not. But you can't just tell them, this is what you do, do it. And that's all I say. You have to tell them why. They want to know why. And when they understand why, even if they don't agree with it, sometimes they're better, I think, better equipped to embrace it and buy in. And they want to buy in. They want to buy into someone they believe in. And we talk about all these things that are going on in our world, and you see such a revolution with facilities. You know, this,
yeah,
there's, you know, they're building facilities with a barber chair. They're building it with, you know, paintball games, a bowling alley, you know,
yes, yeah,
these places for hangout. And, you know, I understand, you know, because sometimes, you know, student athletes aren't able to just hang out like any other student.
Yeah.
You know, high profile programs, I get it. We don't want to, you know, create a culture where they don't engage, but sometimes they just have to have their own place.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that locker room area has always been their safer haven. Yeah. I get that. But still, I only say that, Tim, because sometimes people think it's all about the eye candy, the shiny new things that people have in the departments. And you have to have that to some degree.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you ask student athletes, the vast, vast majority will tell you they choose an institution because they understand that they can fit.
Yeah.
They've
yeah
figured it out through a variety of different ways, meetings, presentations, getting to know the people involved. They fit. But the bottom line to get them to understand they fit is the relationship that they have with the coach that's recruiting them. And so when you carry that over to when they're on campus, it's still the relationship of those student athletes understanding that somebody has their best interest
yeah
at heart.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's where they, it's an old saying, they don't care how many people you put yeah before them that are smarter.
Yeah.
When they figure out the people are smarter and they also care about them, then they're buying it.
No doubt about it. Well, I'm even imagining right now, again, as you're talking, of the different people I know at a number of Division I programs across the country, where we'll be walking through down a hallway, and I can tell they built relationships with the student athletes because all the athletes are saying hi to them. You know, it's they can hardly walk; they're like a celebrity. But I'm thinking that's a Joe Castiglione, that's a Danny White, that's a, you know, it's just people that have done what you just described. But it's in some people's minds, that's extra, and I'm saying no, that's part of the job description. First and foremost, love your students. You can just get so much more out of them if they know you love them. So I'm just echoing. Yeah.
Oh, no question. It's still, and maybe that is a good example of why we've had to step up and understand the role of emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that who each person, some are stronger than others. Some mm-hmm have been through yeah different experiences. Some have been through experiences that neither one of us could ever fathom
yes
someone of that
yeah
age
yeah
facing. And now you're bringing them into a place where, you know, the surroundings are completely different.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, they want to know what, you know, they're struggling with their self-perception, how they're going to express themselves, their interpersonal relationships, the decisions that they make, how are they going to manage stress, you know, where does that fit into their, you know, academic requirements, their performance, the way that they function on the campus,
yeah, yeah,
you know, all of those kinds of things. And what's, and then the role of social media, what others think of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's huge.
It is a
yeah
crazy circle.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to ask a couple of more questions, Joe, that really perhaps will help our listeners zone in on what do I do in light of all these realities that I've got. Would you talk for a minute about some of the big issues that athletic leaders and staff, people like yourself and your team on staff, must address in order to succeed in this new day we're in? Are there a handful of things that you would say this immediately comes to mind?
To me, it's protecting the 21st century student athlete experience, whatever
okay
that is going to be
okay
defined. And I say that because the external forces right now are trying to move us in a direction to make it something different.
Yes, yes.
Some are forcing, you know, the pay for play
yeah
concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And some believe that should happen. But we understand in our world that we sponsor, in our case, 19 sports that are not necessarily going to fall into the pay for play model.
Right, yeah.
And you know, those are like I said, you know, student athletes that have been able to get a college experience based on both their athletic and academic skill coming here, and to parlay that into something special. You know, to some sports, you know, pay for everything. Some only provide a partial financial aid. Yeah. That's an NCAA-driven model. But I, the reason I bring that up is because that's the essence of intercollegiate sports. You know, the statistics will tell you how many students are finishing their degree but having hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. Student athletes who are on full scholarship now, especially with the improvements that we've made, cost of attendance can have their entire collegiate experience paid for and finish with a degree and have zero debt. And then on the way, if they've had medical issues, that can be addressed. You know, if they've moved forward faster in their academic pursuits, they can go on and get a graduate degree. So there's just so many. It's probably the best time ever to be a student athlete in our history. But we've got to be able to continue to improve that that
experience.
Kind of culture.
Yeah, that's right.
Where we value what we can do to put them in a position to be successful. And I think that therein lies with where more people are putting more resources in helping student athletes be more prepared for life when sports are no longer possible. And for some, that might be 5, 10 years, 15 years, you know, after they leave our campus. But for others, it might be the first year or maybe within 2 or 3 years if you follow the trends and how long, you know, professional sports opportunity or an Olympic opportunity may go for some. There's such a small percentage that
it's
make it that far. So we have to give them something where they can engage in the world. And we have to understand what the world's going to be for them 4 or 5 years after after they start. And that is where we have to get better. And why I think most people are putting their resources.
Yeah. Joe, I'm thinking right now as you're talking, far too many folks that are in your shoes are in survival mode, just trying to maintain, make it through the week, keep these kids out of trouble, you know, that sort of thing. And while I realize there are weeks you have to put fires out, I love the long-term thinking you're encouraging, that we got to think ahead. What world are they going to be graduating into? Will they have a job that does not even exist right now? And how do we get them ready? This is
well, you
just
know, Tim, my guys are the greatest. I've had a few, and I'm sure administrators and coaches have received similar letters, but I've had some, and one most recently from a former student athlete 20 years ago that sent me a card and said how much she appreciated the time I took when she was a student athlete, helping her figure out what she was going to do with life after sports. And now she's actually a journalist. She's a news anchor, and she was a student athlete for us. And she just wrote this. I really kind of got weepy reading it. But I know that's not the manly thing to say, but it made me feel, it made me feel like my purpose in being in this role was fulfilled in this, even though that's an example of 20 years ago, it still applies today. That our student athletes understand that we take the most important interest in their success long term. And she closed it by telling me that she thanked me for taking time to invest in her life, and there's no better compliment that
absolutely.
I could ever get from a student athlete than something like that. And since then, she sent me these crazy socks. She said, "I just want you to know how happy I am, and these are happy socks for you." So I put on those happy socks on certain days. When I think about that's. People see the crazy socks I'm wearing. I said, "Well, I'm making somebody else happy."
That's right.
Myself.
Yeah, that's part of a story. That's awesome. Okay, I have one last question. This has been so rich, Joe, and you've really, really, I think, captured the current situation that we have in the world of intercollegiate athletics. Here's my last question. If you were talking with a colleague who was considering doing what you do, they were considering going into this world of maybe an executive level position in athletics, what would be the advice you would give? Maybe the items to think about, maybe the warnings, maybe the considerations. And you don't have to go long, but just what would be some of the advice you would give to someone who was stepping into your shoes?
First question I would ask them is, why?
Yes. What are you thinking?
Why do you want to get into the profession?
Yeah. That's good.
And I don't mean that to come across sarcastically or cynically. You know, sometimes with the challenges that people hear about, they would say, why do you want to get into this position? No. I'm talking about why do you want to engage in this profession? Because it's more of a vocation than it is any kind of profession.
Yes.
And if they are in it to say, well, I like the run of the program, or, you know, I'd like to raise money, or I'd like to, you know, lead coaches, and they don't understand the purpose, their own purpose, they will struggle. Right then and there, I want to find out what's the purpose.
Yeah, what's the motivation?
That's right.
Yeah.
For me, it was easy. It's to play the smallest role I can, you know, big or small in some cases, but I don't put myself in front of anybody else, but I play a role in investing in the lives of others. I'm here to serve.
Yeah.
I have a big job. I have to manage a budget. I have, you know, 255 employees. We have expectations. We've won championships and people want more.
Yeah.
But I am here to serve and serve, you know, the best interests of the student athletes that choose to come to the University of Oklahoma. That's my purpose. And I represent, you know, a bigger mission of a campus, and we integrate or extend the mission, if you will, to everything that we're doing. But, you know, I think to get in this business, you have to understand what your purpose is.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's from there, we could talk about all the other things. I mean, that's that part takes care of itself. If you start with the understanding of what drives the success of the people you lead. And in my case is helping put them in the best position and understanding what they need to get in the best position for themselves to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you do best, Joe. I can just attest to that as a person who's watched you from a distance. You embody what you just said and makes all the difference in the world. And I actually think the student athletes can sense it when you're in it for the right reason. So, Joe, thank you for taking some time and doing this podcast with us. But I just appreciate your friendship and all that you do for the next generation very, very much.
Well, thank you, Tim. It's a true honor to be your friend and to have learned so much. And I could tell you that your influence has been very positive here at Oklahoma and will continue to be part of our success going forward.
Well, thanks, Joe. You bet. Have a great, great day.
Joe, Tim, thank you so much for the insight that you've provided at this conversation. Before we dive into the practical application segment of our podcast, if you'd like to learn more about building leadership culture in your athletic department or sports team, we would love to partner with you through Habitudes for Athletes. To learn more, please visit www.growingleaders.com. Tim, as we round third, headed for home, another pun I know.
Oh, that you're so good.
You're just, talk to us about some practical applications that we can take away from the conversation that we had with Joe.
Joe, I think, just so well communicated the kind of spirit we need to approach athletics with. And so I don't know if I need to add a lot, but I do want to zero in on one phrase he used. It was student before athlete. That adjective student athlete should always be first and foremost. I actually know some athletic directors that don't even use the word athlete. They'll just say our students here to remind the coaches that's what they are. Mm-hmm. That's why they're here. Now, yes, they run around on a field or a court, but that's why they're here, and let's never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
So three quick thoughts. I think if we're going to live that out as coaches, executives, directors in athletics, we're going to have to build a mindset in those students that's a little different than perhaps what they come in with. They may come in thinking, all I care about is Saturday's football game, and we got to remind them, oh, no, 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 there's a class on Monday. So here's my pitch. There's three thoughts. We need to help student athletes, first of all, think long term, which means way beyond the days they're going to play sports. They may be only thinking of, I'm going to play sports. But you and I both know, even if they went pro, which 1% do,
right?
It's going to end in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to have the whole other half of their life. So think long term. Help them think beyond next week. Help them think beyond next semester, next season, long term. Number two, we need to help them think big picture. This is about becoming a good person, not just good with a racket or a ball or a bat.
Mm-hmm.
So big picture means I'm seeing a whole different world than just the world that I perhaps saw when I came in or maybe got recruited to play at this Division I program. So think long term, think big picture. And the last one, think high road. Mm. I think I heard Joe weave in and out of his comments to be a servant, to think high road, that I'm here to give, not just get. I'm here to contribute, not just consume. I'm not just here to grab everything I can, but I've got to think high road. And thinking high road means I'm going to err on the side of generosity. I'm going to err on the side of serving my coach or my teammates or the staff that's around me, my colleagues. I just think that's good advice. So those are three phrases I try to live by in my own life. Think long term, think big picture, think high road. If I choose to do those three things, I'm probably going to have a good life.
You probably
are. Yeah. So even though you call me the king of trivia, those are actually huge thoughts that I would encourage you. So, and maybe just pass it back to you at this point.
Great. Thanks, Tim. To our listeners, thank you once again for joining us on the Growing Leaders Podcast, and we'll see you next time.